following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
From Studio 7, you're listening to Audio of Interest on the FlyPod.com New Media Network. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, and today my guest will be Mr. Randy Fry, State Representative for District 67. Listeners, our nationwide media network consists of 35 individual show hosts, 80 syndication partners, and 17 different media domain platforms. We create and syndicate media content for over 3,300 small communities across the country 24/7. Audio of Interest is a show format we offer so we can communicate important information to our listeners on a community-targeted basis. On this episode, our topic is liquefied natural gas and its status within the state of Indiana. So, accordingly, this episode of Audio of Interest is being distributed to 100% of the state of Indiana. Hoosiers, listen up and learn something new. Joining me now on the program is Mr. Randy Fry, State Representative for District 67. Representative Fry, welcome to Audio of Interest.
Well, Gary, thank you for having me on.
Well, it's quite the pleasure. I like to keep things a little informal. Is it okay if I just call you Randy?
Absolutely.
Cool. We're off to a good start. For the benefit of our listeners, I think a good first question for me to ask you is, can you explain what liquefied natural gas actually is and what it's derived from?
Sure. I hope so. After having studied it for several years, I should have a good understanding. But Gary, I think it's important to note that I've been working with compressed natural gas as well as liquefied. Liquefied natural gas is a process where natural gas temperature is lowered well below 200 degrees Fahrenheit, and it goes from a vapor to a liquid. By doing so, you can put a lot more natural gas on board in a tank. When it expands into a vapor, of course, you don't get as much fuel. So the desire is to put a tank on a truck, for instance, that holds a large volume of fuel and can get a lot farther on a tank of fuel. And so we go with liquefied in some applications, and other applications we use compressed.
Is this process of conversion, is it a fairly, I don't want to call it simple, but is it a fairly a cost-effective, efficient process, easy enough to do?
Well, companies like Citizens Gas in Indianapolis have two different plants where they produce liquefied natural gas. That liquefied natural gas is then transported out to distributors via truck. So as far as the complexity of liquefying it, that would be something that's done at a refining facility. Compressed natural gas, we have compressed natural gas in our homes. We heat our home with it. Some farms here in Decatur County, where I live, have natural gas wells on their farm. So that's the same fuel that we're liquefying. It's just run through a process where the temperature is lowered and it causes it to turn to a liquid.
I see. I'm just going to start referring to this as LNG, and hey, listeners, just follow along here. But can LNG be transported in bulk, and I assume trucks, from these processing plants as safely as standard gasoline is today?
Oh, absolutely. You know, being a career firefighter for most of my adult life, one of my first concerns when I began studying this was the safety. And natural gas is as safe, if not safer, than transporting a tanker of gasoline. And it's done safely all the time.
Wow. You know, I think one of the questions that comes to mind as I think of this in comparing it to gasoline is, how does the efficiency, if I might call it, like the power output of a gallon of LNG compare to, say, a gallon of gasoline? Are they comparable?
Well, I think it's important, again, to remember that when we're talking LNG, we're most likely talking large vehicles like a semi on the highway or even a locomotive. When we're talking compressed natural gas or CNG, then we're probably talking more automobiles, pickup trucks, light-duty trucks. Some semi-tractor trailers run compressed natural gas. Some also run liquefied. The thing to remember again, Gary, is that gasoline gallon equivalent is how we sell compressed natural gas. And that's based on the number of British thermal units, the number of BTUs in a gallon of gasoline versus the same amount of BTUs in the same quantity of compressed natural gas. When we sell liquefied natural gas, we sell it in diesel gallon equivalent. So again, the same number of British thermal units is there as in a gallon of diesel fuel. So in theory, we should get exactly the same fuel economy. I understand that from test results, it's about 1 mile per gallon less than it would be for diesel or gasoline. But in theory, it should be the same, but evidently it's not quite.
Well, I would also think that, well, I can't assume this, but I'll ask you, as it relates to the air pollution factor, how does LNG stack up against, in this case, the bulk use of diesel fuel? Wow, I would think it'd be hugely different.
Well, it's far cleaner. It has a lot less carbon. And certainly, being a grandfather of five, I am concerned about the air quality and want the cleanest air possible for my grandkids. So this is one of the motivating factors behind the work that I've done on this for the last 4 years. So certainly it's much cleaner.
That's always a positive for sure. Of the natural gas consumed in Indiana or the natural gas that is used to convert to LNG, do you have a rough idea of what percentage of that natural gas comes out of the ground from within the state of Indiana?
You know, Gary, I don't. I know that there are vast resources of natural gas in the ground in Indiana. However, areas like the Marcellus Shale Field, which is up in western New York and Pennsylvania, it's far easier to get it out of the ground than it is here in Indiana. We also have the natural gas fields in North Dakota. These are the two largest natural gas reservoirs, I guess you would say, in the country. And so as natural gas becomes more and more in demand, I believe we will begin harvesting the natural gas from our fields here in Indiana. It's just a little more difficult to get it out of the ground because of the makeup of our soil.
Sure. Well, that makes sense from a geological standpoint. Well, let me ask you this also. Because I'm trying to get a handle and a picture, an image, if you will, for the benefit of our listeners and myself, as to just how wide-reaching or expanded has the production and the use and what I'll just call the distribution network of LNG become within the state of Indiana, because it's my understanding that it is growing, but how rapidly?
That's certainly a great question, Gary, and I think we have to continue to go back to the difference between LNG and CNG. LNG is used mostly for very large trucks. And so the availability of liquefied natural gas is not nearly as common as compressed natural gas. Right now, Indiana has 19 natural gas stations for compressed natural gas that are open for the public. We'll have more than 30 by next summer. We have many companies in Indiana investing in these stations. And then we have the automakers that are and truck engine makers that are on board bringing products online. So certainly we need 300-400. I would love to have that number, but it's moving slower than I would like. But it is moving and it's moving fairly quickly. I also think you'd want to make one more note here, and that is we're just one catastrophic event on the world stage away from fuel prices going up dramatically. If that happens, God forbid that it does, when that happens, we will see a vast surge in the amount of automobiles and trucks wanting to run on natural gas, which is a domestic fuel.
You know, it's kind of sad that it takes a calamity to bring that about, because it sounds like if automobiles were equipped in mass to run on compressed natural gas, that there would be a lot of good coming from it. Am I missing a piece here?
Actually, no. The only thing probably that keeps the average person right now from driving a vehicle with natural gas power is the availability of the fuel and the awareness of what's available. You know, Gary, Chevrolet makes the Silverado pickup truck. You can order it right now from Chevrolet. You can order it with natural gas and gasoline, meaning it'll run on either. If it runs out of natural gas, you can't find a station, you can just run on gasoline. Ford does the same with the F-150, F-250. Chevrolet's making the Impala now, the passenger car. You can order it coming on natural gas and gasoline. So what's available on the marketplace is something that I think the average Hoosier and the average person in this country isn't aware.
I'll say. I assume then that the fill stations for LNG are available to just commercial trucks that pull in. Likewise, would vehicles, smaller vehicles, would they be able to pull into the fill stations on a, let's just call it a retail basis, and purchase compressed natural gas for their vehicle as well? I mean, is it open to the public, so to speak?
Most of the stations are, Gary, and I think it's important to note that where I came up with this idea was a company in Indianapolis called Monarch Beverage. They're running all their tractor trailers on compressed natural gas. And I went to a station that had opened in Indiana and watched three semi-tractors fuel back to back to back. And when the third semi-tractor pulled out, a pickup truck pulled in, and he fueled at the same pump. And it occurred to me that when I go to a truck stop, I don't fuel at the same pump as the semis, even if I have a diesel pickup truck, which I do. And so I got to checking on that and found out, yes, everybody fuels at the same pump, much different than fueling a diesel or a gasoline. So, yes, the answer to your question is for compressed natural gas cars, pickup trucks, light-duty trucks can fuel at the same pump. I don't think you're going to find any cars or any small vehicles running on liquefied natural gas. Those are pretty much all the large semis.
Well, you talk about the semis. It's my understanding also that Cummins out of Columbus, Indiana, a while back has produced a 400-horsepower engine which operates on LNG for these large trucks. Just how active has Cummins been in propelling and promoting the use of LNG at this level for what I'll just call long-haul trucks?
Well, Cummins is the industry leader when it comes to engine manufacturing for diesel and compressed natural gas or liquefied natural gas. Their 400-horsepower engine will run on either compressed or liquefied natural gas. So the availability of those engines is on the market. I understand demand is strong, and we'll continue to see that demand grow. And certainly when you look at the price of even gasoline as it's come down a little bit here lately, or diesel fuel, which doesn't seem to come down much, you're looking at compressed natural gas someplace around $1.90 to $2.20 a gallon. And another factor here is that you can purchase your natural gas fuel for your vehicle for up to 7 years in advance. You can lock your price in. One of the companies told me that their main motivation for switching over to natural gas powered trucks away from diesel was that they don't have to worry about the cost of their fuel going up and down on a daily basis. They know how much their fuel is going to cost them years in advance. And as they get close to the end of that fuel contract, they'll renegotiate it and continue to know on a daily basis that their fuel prices are consistent.
That is very interesting. I'm sitting here thinking about fleets of school buses. They ride the roller coaster contractually with delivering their students from one school year to the next because they don't really know what the fuel costs are going to be. That is a really neat fact. I did not know that. Something else I wanted to bring to your attention. About 2 years ago, I was at an international engineering convention in Orlando, Florida, and there was a company there, and they had designed and created a working prototype of a small natural gas conversion unit intended ultimately at some point in time for installation behind one's residence. And as long as that residence had existing natural gas service, this unit would convert this natural gas or compress it, I suppose, for the smaller vehicles. That would be monster and a huge game changer in my mind. Am I missing a point here?
No, Gary. There's been residential filling stations for natural gas for some time. Honda here in Greensburg makes the Civic GX, which is a natural gas power only. It's compressed natural gas. And when that car first came out, Honda would also sell you a home filling station for your car. I don't believe Honda does that anymore. I'm not sure, but there are companies on the market that do that. So you could literally pull in your garage, hook your car up. And there are two different kinds of filling stations. One is a fast fill, takes about 5 minutes to fill it. And the other is a slow fill, takes 6 to 8 hours to fill it. Well, you'd have a slow fill at home. You plug it in at night when you come in from work, and tomorrow morning you unhook it and go to work. It fills up overnight. So
we are living in some wild times. Let me ask you this. In your view, how is the compressed gas and the liquefied natural gas industry currently impacting Indiana's economy? And do you see this growth expanding in any significant way and benefiting the state economy?
Well, I certainly do. One way is Indiana is saving more than $2 million a year as a state because we're running our state vehicles on alternative fuel. Some of our trucks, our larger dump trucks, are running on compressed natural gas, those that plow the snow and work on the highways, and our light-duty vehicles are running on propane. Again, another option that we have available to us. So just the taxpayers are saving up to $2 million a year right now by Indiana running alternative fuel. In addition, you've got a company like UPS that's converting huge amounts of their road tractors over to liquefied natural gas. And they began their program here in Indiana about a year ago. I went to a press conference with the governor, and they announced that. So the economic impact to Indiana is huge. Another impact here is this is a domestic product, meaning when you purchase it, it stays in the United States economy. This is far different than buying a foreign product that we send our dollars overseas. This is the kind of economic stimulus that makes Indiana's economy go.
Wow. We're in for some wonderful, exciting times, I think. Randy, I want to thank you for joining me here on the show today. This has been a fabulous conversation, and I hope our listeners are as excited about this as I am to hear some of the particulars. A lot of things new I learned today that I just did not know about this whole industry, a burgeoning industry, I would add.
Well, Gary, really quick, my legislation I had in 2013 and an additional bill in 2014 passed both chambers with three negative votes in 2 years, meaning it had wild bipartisan support and was signed by two separate governors. So this is a very popular subject. It's something we should be working on. I'm happy to do it, delighted to see it happen, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk about it.
You're quite welcome. Part of our job is just distributing the information, allowing our listeners across the state, across the country, if they choose to plug into Indiana's content on our network, that's fine too. But once again, I do thank you for taking the time to join me on the show today.
My pleasure, Gary.
Listeners, thank you for joining us and listening in here on Audio of Interest. We thank our network supporters, sponsors, and underwriters. They make our programs possible. It's as simple as that. If you have a good show topic idea for a future episode or any comments or questions about this program, you can email us directly back in the control studio. shout@theflypod.com. Or you can post your public comments directly on the player page for this program. Well, that's our program for today. I'm your host, Gary Puckett, coming free and clear to your portable media device or your computer, all through the New Media Network program feeds on theflypod.com. Remember this, when it comes to the media, we are what's next. Until next time, thank you so much for hooking up with us and listening in here on Audio of Interest.